Welcome to the Drama Teacher Podcast, brought to you by Theater Folk, the Drama Teacher Resource Company. I'm Lindsay Price. Hello. I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. This is episode 180, and you can find any links to this episode in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode180. Okay, today we are talking technology in the theater classroom. Oh, say that five times fast. Technology in the theater classroom. Hands up. How many of you have expectations put on you to integrate technology? Right? Hands up. Lots of hands up, I'm sure. How many of you have no idea how to do that? Our guest today, Anna Porter, was in the same boat. So let's find out what she did and how technology in the theater classroom is totally possible and totally doable. Let's get to it. Hello, everybody. I am here with Anna Porter. Hello, Anna.
Hello, everyone.
Anna, tell everybody where in the world you are.
I am currently in Virginia.
Awesome. Very good. So we're talking today about technology in the drama classroom. And for some drama teachers, I think that technology can be I'm not going to say it's a dirty word, but it's a weird word, isn't it? That doesn't, technology and drama might not seem on first glance to go together.
Yeah, definitely. It's a tool that we want to use, but sometimes feels like it gets in the way.
Oh, I like that. How does it get in the way?
Just in the sense that we're often told we need to be using it, but we don't necessarily know how it works in our specific context.
Yeah. So. Yeah, totally. And so the reason I'm talking with Anna is that Anna is she does a lot of work for Theater Folk in the Drama Teacher Academy. She's done a lot of lesson plans for us. She's going to be doing something on technology in the drama classroom with some Google tools. We'll talk about Google tools in a second. Now, Anna, when we were talking about something else, you let it be known that you have an endorsement in educational technology. What is that?
So I'm currently finishing that endorsement right now, but it's done through my State Office of Education, where they are working to try and get teachers to use more technology in the classroom. But I think they've recognized that the more teachers know about how to use it, the more they're going to do it. And so a lot of these classes deal with theory and how to better use technology and how to select technology that works well for our students and for our content area, as well as helping us know what tools are out there. Because I think for me, at least, that was the biggest obstacle, is knowing, okay, I know I need to use it, but what can I use and what resources do I have to do that? So that's a big part of what this endorsement has been.
And why did you decide to take it?
Because I've always wanted to know how to use technology. Whenever I had my, review from my administrator, there's always that question, how are you using technology in your classroom? And I would have to say, I use my projector. And I knew there was more I could do. And also, as I've gotten to know more about how technology works, it's been really exciting to see how it helps us as teachers differentiate our instruction a little bit more, and also how it helps us reach those individual students that we may not normally be able to access in our classroom just because of the nature of class sizes or their individual needs and personalities.
Oh, okay. So there's a lot in there that I want to touch on, but there's one thing that I don't want to lose. How do you find technology reaches students that we might not ordinarily reach because of, let's say, for example, class size?
So for class sizes, I had classes that I taught in that were normally about 35 to 45 students. And so if I wanted to be able to assess a student on how they were doing on articulation, for example, I would have to, in order to get through all of my students, have them go up in groups. If I could have students easily do, for example, a short podcast with a tongue twister or two, that they could demonstrate their understanding with that, I now have access to see how that student is doing, and also I can provide them specific feedback for them so they can improve. So that's one thing to me that was really helpful.
Yeah. So is that something that, let's talk in theoretically you would like say if they recorded something, they could upload it somewhere. And then did you ever use like class websites or something like Google Classroom where everybody could, you could make notes on a specific thing using the technology?
Yeah, there's multiple platforms that you can do that, whether it be Google, the Google Classroom, or I know a lot of schools have invested in Canvas, which is also another great platform for doing that. And you can have students upload their work, and then you as a teacher can respond right there, and they can see your response, whether it be that you do your own podcast and you respond through speaking, or whether it be written. There's lots of different ways in which you can provide that feedback for students.
Awesome. Okay, let's go back to the endorsement. So what has surprised you the most about taking this endorsement in educational technology? Like, and just in terms of, I'm just going to leave it at that. What has surprised you the most learning, taking on this new knowledge?
What surprised me the most? I think for me, the biggest surprise was that there are more opportunities to use technology than what I thought. A big thing that kept me from using technology was I never felt like I could have the resources, that I was so low on the totem pole, so to speak, in abilities to get into the computer lab or get into, you know, we had a mobile Chromebook lab, but they were always taken by the testing subjects. And so I didn't feel like I had the right or I had the preparation to be able to ask for that. But in going through this endorsement, I found a lot more opportunities, whether it be having students bring their own devices that, at least at my school, they finally opened up for students to bring the last 2 years I was there, in utilizing that, or even just tools that teachers can use on their own that don't involve every student having to have their own device. So to me, that's been the biggest surprise, is that there are a lot of different types of tools out there that can be adapted for your individual situation.
I think that's a great point, because it keys into the fear that a lot of teachers have and the resistance that teachers have with using technology in the drama classroom. And I think you hit it right on the head. Well, I don't have access. I don't have access to that lab. Maybe I'm in a school where my students don't have, you know, there's one-to-one iPad schools, and it's like, well, that's great for them, but it's not great for me. And that's something that can turn a teacher off immediately. It's like, well, they say I'm supposed to use technology, but it's not applicable to me. So this idea that, hey, there might be, you know, apps that students can use or programs that teachers can use on their own. I think that is it's kind of like a doorway, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Cool. Okay. So let's start with that. Let's start with, what do you think is a really useful app that teachers can use in their classroom?
I think a big thing just depends on what you see a need in your classroom to be. So I agree completely that you never just want to use technology just for technology's sake. It needs to be something that fits with your balance in your classroom. But for me, one of the biggest things that I was excited about, because I knew this was something that I struggled with as a teacher, was communication with students and my other stakeholders, whether it be parents or administration. And so that's one reason why I've been really excited about the different Google tools, is because I feel like they have been developed to kind of act as a personal assistant in some ways to teachers for communication, and also allow students to give information back. So one of the ones I really like is, and I spoke about this before, was Google Forms, because I felt like I was trying to communicate, but that paper trail was just getting in the way. But Google Forms made it so that I could post something or send something or have it on my website. And I knew that students had access to it, that parents had access to it. And I knew I was going to be able to get that information back. And Google Forms has different ways that you can organize that information. So, for example, I would normally, you know, send out questionnaires, you know, parents, what can you do to help? And if I got that back, I would have to make my own spreadsheet so I knew who I could contact. well, Google Forms takes that information and makes that for me already. So it eliminates that extra step and also helps me communicate what I need and helps parents communicate back what they need. So that's one of my favorite tools.
You could, that would be easily used in a rehearsal situation too, huh?
Definitely, definitely. It could be used whether it be for absent request forms for parents or students. It could be your stage manager does their rehearsal log via Google Tools or Google Forms. And so there's lots of opportunities to use that even with costumes or whatever it be. You know, lots of opportunities for that use.
So let's stay on Google Tools for a second. What's another, because I think that this is something that, you know, we all know what Google is. And we all know that it's the search term, and I have a Chromebook, so I use Google Drive and Google Docs. But there is a world of Google out there that a lot of us don't know, right?
Yeah, really. It seems like they're coming up with something new each time I go back and look. It's really great.
Okay, so what's something that could that you find? So Google Forms can really help in communication with students and with parents. But what about something that's happening, like an exercise that's happening in the classroom itself? What's a good Google tool that could help with maybe a scene or maybe some research, something like that?
So possibilities could be you could use Google Photos. Whether it be that you upload a short video of a performance so students can watch it, or pictures so they can see, you know, these are what staging looks like. This is why I'm saying you need to cheat out. Or even if you had another group that was watching them, provide them the opportunity to see what it looks like so they have the opportunity to critique themselves. Or if you are doing some kind of research assignment or characterization even, there is custom search that you can create on Google. So I don't know about anyone else, but I got really tired of having Wikipedia as every report or response I got. And not that Wikipedia isn't a good starting place, but there are ways to create a search engine for your students to aim them at sites that you may want them to look at more than Wikipedia, whether it be educational sites or production companies or anything else that you feel would be a valuable resource. You can create your own custom Google search for them to be able to go to and find information.
I like that could be, you know, that way, you know where your students are getting their information from.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see how they're deciphering it and maybe pulling it apart and, you know, maybe making sure that they're not just copying down what they see on those sites.
Yeah. Well, and you can even make it a specific assignment because there are different ways to adjust your custom search. So you can send them to an actual activity that they go to. So it just depends on how you want to customize it and what you want to do with it. So, yeah.
Have you, I know just a tiny bit about, have you ever used Google Classroom?
I have not. I would love to, but I'm not affiliated with the school that has it.
Okay. That's okay. We'll put some links down in our show notes. So, and you mentioned a little bit about putting up a scene so that students could maybe watch themselves and get feedback. What kind of technology is good in the classroom for giving feedback, do you think?
So Canvas, I mentioned before, can be a great way for students to upload. There are also some great collaborative websites. So whether it be something like Padlet, where it's kind of like a message board that students can use, that you can also upload videos. So you could have students that upload a preview and students respond. Of course, you would have to work with your students to make sure that, you know, they understand critique and how to do it professionally and appropriately. And a lot of these sites also allow you as a teacher to be the moderator. But you just have to look and see what that is, as well as, you know, prepare your students for that. If you have Apple devices, you can utilize, you know, them creating their own iMovie and then posting that to a common site that you have, whether it be if you have a classroom website, and then students can go there and view each other's work that way. And then in providing feedback, so that's critique-wise from each other, they're able to do that in a common forum in that way. And as a teacher, if you have the ability to, you know, we talked about Canvas, sending responses that way. There are also some other assessment tools that whether it be through their taking a quiz or anything like that, that you can also see how they're doing in real time and provide them feedback in that way. So there's formative quizzes. We talked about Google Forms. You can use that for quizzes as well. But there's some different opportunities in those tools.
Yeah. Do you have any specific like assessment quiz? I just know you quiz is another idea. What are some like assessment quiz apps or software that people can use?
Yeah. So Quizalize is a fun one. This one can be for if you want kids to do it as a team. So it kind of creates kind of a team game aspect to it, or individual. And you see the names cross the screen towards the finish line, so it's competitive in that way. Socrative is another platform that you can use for quizzes. You can also use it for exit tickets. There's this game they call the Space Race game, where they can do it individually or as a group, can kind of check and see formatively where their knowledge is and what they're understanding. Formative is another one where you can send activities out. You can also send them feedback immediately. You can add content. So, for example, you can create a quiz and you have reading content in there, and then you want them to respond. They can also draw. So if you wanted to have them draw a picture of a lighting fixture, or show me what it looks like to create this this stage picture, what would that look like? Or what are the parts of the stage? Label it. So formative is a fun one because they can actually draw on that one. It's not just typing. Kahoot is a popular one. A lot of teachers I know use that one, and their classes really enjoy it. But basically, it's game-based, and they have their own screen where they have just blocks that they push, and it's kind of like their own buzzer with four options they can push and the questions displayed on the screen. Quizlet is another one that I like, that's a little more individual, but you can create your own flashcards, but then kids can also quiz themselves, so it's a great way to kind of give them a pre-quiz or a study guide to help students. We talked briefly about this being a good way for students to memorize lines even, so they can put their lines in, create flashcards that way, and then they can actually quiz themselves on it through matching games or filling in the blank. And then one other one, if you don't have one-to-one technology, Plickers, that's Plickers, Plickers, is where you basically print off, it kind of looks like a QR code, but each student has their own picture code, and you ask a question and they hold up the card in the way that shows the answer. And you as a teacher just have to scan that. You can use your phone, you can use an iPad, any kind of camera that's connected to the internet, and you can scan the room and you can see exactly what the students' responses were. So those are some good options. Also, again, if you have a platform like Google Classroom or Canvas, you can create quizzes within that that tool.
That was awesome. And of course, we'll put all those into the show notes. It just seems like when you were talking about the assessment and the possible like applications, the thing that came to my mind was these would be fun.
Yeah.
You know, and just that notion that, well, technology is not scary for our students.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's part of their lives, and it's the thing, and it is the thing that makes them most comfortable. And we're the ones with the issue when it comes to technology, and that it is a hurdle to be overcome. And I think for students, it's the other way around. Technology is the thing that is they're most comfortable with, and the drama classroom is the thing that is the hurdle that they have to overcome. And that if there's a way to sort of bridge the gap, I feel the more and I'm certainly one of those people who is, I've certainly dipped my toe in technology, but it's a little teeny tiny toe. And I think that if we can just, the more that we can use it, maybe the more that we can really bridge the gap to getting students who maybe are placed in the drama classroom, not against their will, but, you know, because they have been placed there as opposed to choosing it, that maybe technology is a doorway and a gateway and a way for them to use their comfort zone to kind of get out of their comfort zone.
I agree. I throughout this endorsement, and also throughout a lot of what we're hearing in the lingo more and more in education, we hear about 21st century learners, where they're focusing on the four C's of creativity, collaboration, communication, critical thinking. And to me, it's like, well, we've been doing that in the drama classroom all along. What are you talking about? But at the same time, like as you said before, some of these students that come into our classroom that, you know, need to be there, we are perfect for bridging that gap because we're using those skills and we can help them work on utilizing them in both interpersonally in our classroom, talking to people face to face, but also how do you translate those skills into the world of technology, which is a skill that they're going to need throughout the rest of their lives. So I agree. I think that the drama classroom is a perfect place for us to help prepare these students, whether they want to be there or whether they are being encouraged to be there through their counselor or parents. So, you know, I think it's a great opportunity for us as teachers to utilize that.
I wanted to just and jump back to what you were talking about with feedback and having students like reply online. I wonder, too, if that's a really great way to encourage students who maybe are in their shell to actually interact with and give feedback. I think that particularly today, students are terrified of doing something wrong or saying the wrong thing. That whole failure notion is up to 11 these days. And I think it's really easy for a student to not give feedback and not say something in the general conversation of the classroom. And that maybe this is an interesting way anyway. What a great experiment to, you know, if you put a scene up, you know, if you've got a platform where you could post a scene and say everyone has to, or put up the variety of scenes and everyone has to like make comments on two scenes, something like that, eh?
Yeah, there's lots of opportunities, whether it be a silent discussion where students can remain anonymous. So using something like Answer Garden, where it's limited to the number of characters they can use, but they have to make a comment. You can have it so that it's something like Padlet, where they have to be able to say who they are. You know, you can decide if you want anonymous or not, but I agree. It's a great way for us to encourage those students that may otherwise try to stay hidden in their responses.
Do you have any other, because you mentioned one of them might be a good one for learning lines, and this seems to be the bane of every human being who cares about putting up a scene or putting up a play, is that having students to learn lines. Are there any other suggestions you have where you can incorporate technology and helping students learn lines?
I've had students that have used Speakit, so where they can have their text and it becomes sound. And so if you have an auditory learner, that can be a good way for them to be able to hear that. I mean, you do have to remind them, you know, you don't want to fall into vocal patterns, of course, but sometimes they need to hear that line in order to process it a little bit more. I did mention Quizlet. If you have learners that they need to be able to, they need to visually be able to see what's going on, you can have them make their own Google slideshow of their scene and have a picture that reminds them of what's going on and maybe some keywords, and they can flip through that to help them review what their lines are. So, you know, just kind of thinking about what is their preferred learning style. Well, can we access that visually, auditory? What's a kinesthetic way we can do it? Well, maybe a game. So we talked about some of these games that students can play on their own, whether it be through the Quizlet again, or maybe it be through, it could be through ClassKick, and they have to do drawings of what it is, you know, just different things that they can do to engage with their lines, whether it be game form or just practicing on their own.
I love the idea of creating a visual for a scene via Google Slide Deck, like just having, like, come up with a visual, like come up with images for, you know, for each moment in the scene. It's a really great way to demonstrate a different type of comprehension. Yeah, totally. Okay. So as we're wrapping up here, so you are nearing the end of your endorsement. Where do you want to go with technology? Where do you want to go? Where do you see drama and technology going off into the sunset hand in hand?
What I would love, at least for my personal classroom, is to be able to find the tools and be able to utilize them and have my students feel comfortable with them and me feel comfortable with them to be able to communicate more clearly and also help my students demonstrate what they know better. and me be able to give them more clear feedback. That to me is my motivation in continuing this and what I want to see my classroom be able to utilize. I want my students to know that I understand where they are personally and I have the ability to do that. And also I want to them to know I want to give them that feedback and I want them to improve and that they can take that and be able to go even further than what I'm already able to do in my own classroom.
You know what? I think you hit on something that is a question which we should all be asking ourselves in today's world. So here we are. We are firmly chugging along into the 21st century. Is how students are demonstrating knowledge effective, and are the same old tools useful? You know, maybe we need to find new tools and new procedures to allow students to, and this is not talking about dumbing it down or letting them off the hook. It's just, what is the format that we're using for having students, today's student, demonstrate knowledge? And is that the most effective?
I agree.
You give me something to think about. I love that. And last question. So our listeners are our drama educators. I always get dinged for how I say drama. Drama educators and potential drama educators. And what would you say, what is your advice for those who are still on the fence or their schools are on the fence on implementing technology in the drama classroom?
I would say think of an area that you have that I wish for. What is something that you want to do better? And I would say that 99% of the time, there is some element of technology that can help you to do that, whether that be for your own organization, your own administrative tasks that you do as a drama teacher. We wear lots of hats. And what is something that you wish you could do better with your students, whether that be, again, through communication, through reaching that student that seems to just not engage? What is one thing that you want to try to do? And then pick a tool that you think could work for that and try it. You don't have to start with this whole, you know, fully integrated classroom all at once. Find a tool that sounds good to you that you could use on your own if you don't have technology readily accessible to everybody. And also talk to other teachers because they've gone through the same process of finding what works for them and then adapt it. See what will work for you. Because you're not the only one going through this process of transitioning to having more technology and utilizing that. It's something that, you know, teachers are going through all over. And so learn from what they've gone through, what has worked for them, what hasn't. But that's what I would say my advice is.
Oh, that's a great ending note, that we are not alone and you are not alone. And there's somebody out there and probably quite nearby who feels exactly the same way that you do. And I think that that's the thing that I find most interesting about technology is how it makes people say that it's very isolating. And I find sometimes the exact opposite feeling is that it makes the world a smaller place and that help really is right around the corner.
Yeah, it enables us to break down some of the walls of our classroom that we can reach outside of our own classroom walls to another community. And that's a great, great way to use technology as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for talking to me today, Anna.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you, Anna. Before we go, let's do some theater folk news. So, if you're listening to this in real time, that means it's April, and it's the middle of April, and it's before April 24th. And if you, this applies to all of these apply, one of these apply to you, keep listening. I want to tell you about a summer special. If it's not that month and not those dates, stop listening. Just go, leave. I mean it. Okay. Are you still here? Are you still listening? Okay. So if you are, you are coming to the end of your school year. That means summer is coming up. And I know you. You may take a little time off, but you are also interested in getting better, improving those skills. You're reading plays for next year. You are thinking about next year. I know you are. Don't deny it. You want something that's going to make you a better teacher for next year. And, well, if you're not going to do any of those things, if you are a I'm taking my summer and I'm sitting by the pool type of person, awesome. Kudos. All the more to you. But you should stop listening. Go. Leave. I mean it. No judgment. You're sitting by the pool. I envy you. Let me tell you. All right. So, are you still listening? So I have to tell you about something great. So this is our Drama Teacher Academy summer special where we offer 3 months for the price of two. Yes, that's right. 3 months for two. So for $74, you get not one, not two. You get 3 months of DTA, the Drama Teacher Academy, which means professional development courses. That means curriculum that's linked to standards. That means lesson plans. That means resources. And everything is designed for you, dear drama teacher, designed for the classroom. Head on over to dramateacheracademy.com. That's all one word, dramateacheracademy.com, to get in on this fabulous, fabulous deal. Or you can click the link in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode180. Finally, where or where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every second Tuesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk and on the Stitcher app. You can subscribe to the Drama Teacher Podcast on iTunes. All you have to do is search for the word Theater Folk. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.